In the courts of highest heaven, angel voices sing of the Son of God the Father, fairest of the fair. But the ransomed of the ages, sweeter songs can bring.
Once again, Good News Hour greets you with a message from God's precious and unerring Word. Now, I'm going to continue along the lines that we have been speaking the last few days. You will perhaps recall that in a previous message we pointed out to you that regarding our Lord Jesus Christ, there are many things said in the Word of God, but there are five cardinal truths that have to do with my blessed Savior that I want to emphasize and say a little about today by the help of the Lord. First, we spoke of His virgin birth. Now, since these five facts, outstanding facts, all begin with the letter V, you'll have no difficulty in remembering them. We have His virgin birth, His victorious life, and I rather should say His virtuous life, His vicarious death, His victorious resurrection, and His visible return. And of course that is what we are waiting for. You know, it's interesting when you come to the Word of God, time means so little to our blessed God. You see, away back yonder in the Garden of Eden, when sin had made its entrance and brought down our first parents, God met the enemy in the God met the enemy, and also He met Adam and Eve. But He said to the enemy, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, and thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now we have something very striking and very interesting too. This is the first promise, shall I say, of a Savior. Now, it's rather dim and rather obscure, but however, it is a pledge and a promise, and it's developed in various portions in the Old Testament and brought out in clear focus so that there can be no mistake, there can be no misunderstanding whatsoever. So that when our blessed God said, I will put enmity between thee, that is, between Satan and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So this first announcement or first prophecy regarding our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, and of course this was an announcement too of His virgin birth, that miraculous birth that was to be performed, and of course could only be performed by God Himself. But It was the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man. And of course, if you go to the New Testament, the epistle of Paul to the Galatians, and you'd read there, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, or born of a woman, and born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So that the Word of God has a great deal to say about the virgin birth, and we have said something about that too, and we shall not say anything further at this time. Only to say that even although the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was miraculous, he was born of the Virgin Mary, and had he lived as he did, a virtuous life without sin and without reproach, do you know what would have happened? He would have gone back to heaven all alone. He never could have taken a son or a daughter back to heaven by the virtuous life that he lived. You know, a great deal is being said today. First, the virgin birth is being bitterly assailed, being attacked not only by enemies of the cause of Christ, I mean, from whom you would expect it, but even sometimes from those who fill the pulpit. And of course, they say it would be a physical and a human impossibility for the Lord Jesus Christ to have been born of the Virgin. Well, we agree, readily agree, that it would have been a physical impossibility, but not impossible with God, for with God all things are possible. But let's hurry along. And even although he lived a virtuous life, now there's nothing said about his life, at least very little, from the till he reaches the after he was taken to the temple and circumcised according to the law of Moses, and for he was a minister of the circumcision. And then when he was 12 years old, he went to the temple and was found amongst the doctors and the lawyers asking and answering questions. And then there's a silence for about 18 years until he reaches the age of 30. He makes his public appearance. He goes to that people to whom he had made a covenant promise, and he presents himself as their Messiah, as their king, but of course they would not have him. Now let me stress again, his virtuous life could not bring sons and daughters of Adam's race to heaven. Nothing less than the vicarious sufferings and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ can atone for guilt and for sin. And I'm glad to be able to tell you, friends, that there was found a man, yes, thank God, the God-man, that one who was God's supreme delight, and upon whom the heavens opened on some several occasions, and the voice from the excellent glory said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But oh, I want you to trace him, friends, until he reaches Mount Calvary, and we're going to see that sinless, spotless Lamb of God, and now coming in contact with sin. With sin, not his own. His life, as we have said, was a virtuous life, free from sin in every sense of the word. And I tell you, when he was lifted up between the heavens and the earth, not by kind hands, but by enemies of my blessed Savior. Do you remember that there were some there under the very shadows of the cross that said, "He saved others. He saved others. If he be the Son of God, let him save himself." Ah, friends, he could not. He could not save himself. Now let me make myself clear. If the Savior, my Savior, were to save himself, were to come down from the cross, then he could not be my Savior. He could not save me. His suffering and death was vicarious. Now don't be afraid of that word. It simply means one who dies in the stead of, or one who dies in the place of another. And so when I look at Calvary, ah, when I see that blessed one, lifted up was he to die. When I see that one passing through agonies indescribable and untold, I can say it was my sins that nailed him to that cross. My sin that held him there. Yes, friends, he made an atonement for guilt and for sin. And you know, I'm glad to be able to tell you that since He made an atonement for guilt and for sin. We say he died on the tree, an atonement for me. And blessed be God, we're able to say, now both the sinner and surety are free. In other words, he is beyond the reach now of sin forever. He has paid the penalty for it, for sins that were ours. And friends, when I think of it, that blessed one whose life was holy, spotless, and undefiled, and when I see his form stretched out upon that cruel cross, the nails in his hands and in his feet, and when I think of my sin, those glaring sins laid upon that holy one, I, as he became answerable for my guilt and for my sins. And you know, sometimes we say, you've heard people say, wouldn't you like to lay your sins on Jesus? Well, I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. But you know, I'm glad to be able to tell you that they have been laid there, taken by another. You see, Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, oh, we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity or the sin of us all. Now, in concluding my little message to you as regards his vicarious sufferings upon the cross, will you listen while I read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, which says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Think of that. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now very quickly, I want you to see another passage that tells of his vicarious sufferings, and that would be in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, where we read, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Oh, I'm glad he'll never suffer again. He'll never have to endure the cross. It's past and gone forever and ever. Judgment scenes for him are gone, eternally gone. Blessed be his holy name. And then, you know, for all who have come to him and put faith in him, we can say too that judgment is past and gone for us. Each individual who has been reached and saved by the grace of God can say, there is no condemnation, there is no hell for me, the fire and the torment mine eyes shall never see. For me, thank God, we can say, no condemnation. Oh, could you all say that today? If you can't, turn your eyes to the blessed Son of God. See that holy sufferer. See him there. And verse 18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit. Now, if you've never trusted him, wouldn't you like to trust him today? Come to him as a poor, penitent soul and say, Lord Jesus, you died for the guilty, you died for the lost, hence you died for me. And I put my faith in your atoning death. I receive you as my substitute, my sacrifice, my Savior. I put faith in the work that you accomplished there for sinners for me. And now, thank God, I know peace and joy and rest forever. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, if you appreciate the message you've been listening to today and in the past days, and you desire further spiritual assistance, we'd like to get a line from you. And if you'll drop a card or a letter to this address, Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. Now, we're waiting to get a reply. We know that these messages are being heard and that some have received help, but we'd like to know if you still have problems and if the matter of your soul's salvation has been taken care of. And if not, we'd like to be of service to you in this respect. Meantime, may the God of glory abundantly bless you, is our prayer to him.